in the church who already know Christ. Because we can not only not save ourselves for heaven, we can't save ourselves in the area of change or transformation. The same gospel that delivers us from hell delivers us progressively from our sin. That's this glorious message of grace. And we're privileged this morning to hear from a dear brother of mine who actually, perhaps more than anyone else, helped me really begin to be gripped by this glorious message of grace. When I was confused and wondered what was going on, listening to Scotty Smith had a huge impact upon my life. Last week, Ben May did just a tremendous job introducing you to the concept that Lori and I will be on sabbatical from May 15th to August 15th. And Ben also mentioned that we had a great lineup of preachers coming in to minister the gospel to this church. Well, you get a taste, a foretaste of that this morning. Scotty's been the pastor of Christ Community Church in Franklin for 26 years. He's actually going to be retiring in June, and God's going to use him in some other great ways. He's married to Darlene. They have two children, Scott and Kristen. They have a grandchild. And Scotty, it is a blessing, it is a privilege, it is an honor for you to be here. So come and minister the word to us, my friend, my gospelicious brother.
Oh, thank you, my brother. Well, I should say quickly that I am retiring from the staff of Christ Community Church, but not retiring. I don't really think in the gospel you ever retire. You reframe, you refire, you refocus. But it's just become a great season in our church family to begin to look ahead for our body and for Darlene and I to think about stewardship of this remarkable gospel. I had a great spiritual dad for over 20 years named Jack Miller, and he set the path for me, for Bob, for many of us, for whole churches like this tremendous church that I love with so much of my heart. Jack was a church planter, a seminary professor, and the more he came alive to the gospel, the more he began to live out the radical implications of grace. And I know that's what your senior pastor, your whole staff is committed to. I know it is the heartbeat of this congregation. And it's why I'm thrilled today to basically just bring a charge to you, really in light of this wonderful announcement that was made last Sunday. I am thrilled, by the way, we'll stand to read the scripture in a moment, but this is all introduction, right? I am thrilled at the gift you are given, Bob and Lori. And it was just a gift to be in their home last night, to see the humility, the joy, the sense of just incredible appreciation for this gift. But I want you to know it's not just a gift on your part. It is wisdom. It is the gospel. It is such an investment in the future of this church. It is such a courageous thing that you are doing that further underscores that you guys know that Bob is not the fourth member of the Trinity. In fact, I have an image of this congregation thriving, not just surviving while he's away. I'd love to see this summer, none of you to see now as he's going on his hiatus, as though it's time to do something you always wanted to do, like, you know, go float drift for 3 months or something, or simply take up a craft that will keep you away from Sunday mornings. I'd love to see the giving of this church go up while he's away. I would love to see the summer, which is many times when we typically throw our hearts into cruise control, to be a time when perhaps a greater percentage of the men and women of Oak Mountain Church discover their calling, their place in this body, because there are no insignificant people in this church. And we live in a culture where in church it's far easier than ever to be consumers. We have unbelievable resources in front of us through the media, through social media, through podcasts, whatever, to basically to see a church, a great church like this one, is simply a buffet waiting to serve you. Brothers and sisters, you're a part of the meal. You're a part of those who are meant to consume this grace at this table and to be to the praise of God's glory, everything that Jesus is calling you to be, announcing the fullness of this kingdom. Now, what would that look like? Go ahead and stand with me now. I want to walk us through this morning a brief overview of a great wedding charge. Now, by that I mean this. This is enough said and done primarily about thanking you for Bob's sabbatical. I want to talk now to you because you're the ones that are called as the body to be the body to the glory of God. And the book of Jude, the last book in the New Testament, the last book in the Bible before the book of Revelation, is addressed to congregations just like Christ Community Church in Franklin and Oak Mountain Church in Birmingham, written by one of the half-brothers of our Lord, meaning that Jude is one of the men that shared the same mother with Jesus, but not the same father. And his journey was one of struggling to come to faith that his brother was indeed the Son of God. And as he did, his heart exploded with a commitment to guard the gospel. And he presents words to a congregation at a time when they need a fresh dose of gospel sanity because the church of his day is under assault like the church of our day. Let me just read the salutation, then I'm going to have you seat, and then I'm going to really address you as though we were at a marriage renewal ceremony. And I'm going to say some things to you that I pray will simply, for your heart and my heart, rock our hearts with the gospel afresh today. So hear the word of the Lord. The book of Jude, I'm going to read just the first couple of verses, pray, and then sit you down. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Now let's pray. Father, our moments are brief, but they are substantive and significant. I thank you for this church. I thank you for Bob Flahart, my brother and friend. I thank you for the whole staff. I thank you for the legacy of this church. I thank you for the future of this church. I thank you that this is a body of believers that unashamedly say it's not about us. It's about God and his glory. And there's only one way that story can be lived, and it's out of the unsearchable riches of Jesus. Lord, show us what that means afresh today as we lean into this future. Lord, indeed, thank you that Bob Flahart is not the fourth member of the Trinity. There is no such thing. We all have the Spirit. We are all called. Lord, show us what this means today. I pray these words for Christ Community in Franklin, the body of believers you're sending me out from. I pray for Oak Mountain Church, Lord, the same as Bob gets refreshed and renewed to come back just to further live this story with this remarkable family. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your seats. If you have a Bible, I would love for you to follow along in the little book of Jude. Again, briefly, I'm not going to go through the entire text, but I'm going to give you an overview of the whole book because it comes, as I've already mentioned, with such an affectionate orientation. Jude loves the men and women that he's walking with. And yet he knows every generation of Christians every single day need to hear the gospel, need to be startled, need to embrace as the consummate core value of belonging to Jesus, the core value of gospel astonishment. Notice how he begins this letter. Here's the four things I want to say very briefly as we prepare to come to this table. Four G's, so you can remember this outline pretty easily. Four G's: glory in the gospel, guard the gospel, grow in the gospel, go in the gospel. First of all, glory in the gospel, Oak Mountain Church. Look at these first two verses. The author is identified, as we've mentioned, he's a servant of Jesus, a brother of James. James, the same James that wrote the book of James. Again, half brothers of our Lord, but those that acknowledge we belong to our half brother as our Lord. And what does it mean to belong to the Lord? Notice the way he defines life in Christ. To those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father, and kept by, and actually the Greek particle could be translated, kept by and for Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Do you see how this letter begins? Like every sermon should begin and end. Brothers and sisters, glory in the gospel. We all glory in something. Some of us are getting ready to glory, perchance, in March Madness, hoping that our team will actually, of course, we know Penn State will not be in March Madness. That's okay. There's a football season coming, Bob. Relax. But some, we, We know what glory is by markers in our culture. Some of us find something that basically ignites our soul. By it we live, by it we weep, through it we dance. The scriptures are saying to you and me, here is good news that dare not be mere symbol, cliche, and word. Look at what it means for us today to know that we are called to glory in the gospel. Who are we? We are those who've been called. That means, brothers and sisters, that the gospel is far more a subpoena than an invitation. Any of you ever been subpoenaed before that would raise your hand? It doesn't mean you're guilty. It's okay, good. You don't politely say about a subpoena, I think I'll pray over this. No, subpoena means you show up. Good news of the gospel is the Lord knocked on your heart, not asking for an opportunity to prove himself worthy of your love. He came saying to you, you're so dead in your sins and trespasses, I must raise you from the dead that you might be rescued from you. And this is what it means to be called. We are called to life. We are subpoenaed to glory. Of course, we should be thankful today that you and I believe in the grace of our Lord because of God's doing. We are called. We are what? Loved by God the Father. If you belong to Jesus, this is the good news today. I need to hear this just as you do right now. If you belong to Jesus, if you believe the gospel, there is absolutely nothing you can do today or any day to make God love you more than he does today. And he will never love you less because of what he's done for us in Jesus. This is what the season of Lent is all about. We're, again, remembering our story. Look at who Jesus is. Look at what he's done for us. He lived a life of perfect obedience. He was raised on our behalf. He died in our place. He gave us the Spirit. He's coming back for us. He's declared us to be his bride. That's why this last of these three affirmations. We are called. We are loved by God the Father. We are kept by and for Jesus. The future of Oak Mountain Church is absolutely glorious because she is kept by Jesus for Jesus. You know what? Today, as we take this meal, it should increasingly smell like wedding cake to us. Because the next time we have this meal with Jesus, it is the bridegroom coming from the most unlikely bride. It's you, it's me. We should sensately come alive. This is who we are. It's why James's brother, his little brother Jude, says to you and me today, glory in this gospel. Study its lyric always. Come alive to its music. Enter into its dance or its waltz. You've been trained well to dance in this church. And he goes on, it doesn't stop, does it? All right, for those who are called, loved, and kept, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. You know what the image is there? As a congregation, continue to own our need for mercy. Who is it that needs mercy? Those that cry uncle, that they might cry Abba. One of the things I've always loved about your church and how we partner with you up the road in Franklin, Tennessee, is that this is a sinner-safe church. That's a rarity. It doesn't mean you're free to smoke marijuana on the back row and nobody's going to bother with you. A sinner-safe church means when y'all gather as a church at Oak Mountain, you acknowledge we need who Jesus is. Grow in that. I have absolutely honored and blessed you from afar how you have lived through this tremendous season with Jason Sears and his beloved wife. I love stories of redemption and restoration. One of my best friends, Skip Ryan, at Park Cities Prez in Dallas, Texas, lived through a similar story. I've had my stories. We all have our stories. I am so glad this is a church that grows in mercy, and therefore it can extend mercy to the greater Birmingham area and the nations of the world. Mercy and peace and love be yours in abundance. First part of this wedding renewal charge, brothers and sisters, as you prepare to hand off your senior pastor for 3 months, is glory in the gospel. Don't glory in Bob Flayhart. Don't wish he were here. Don't lament he's away. Thank God he belongs to Jesus and that he loves this gospel. But you glory in it. Secondly, guard the gospel. I'm not going to have time to read through the next section, but if you pick up in verse 3 in Jude and go through verse 19, there's a long section where Jude warns the men and women who are receiving his letter about the fact that the gospel can never be presumed upon. Grace can never be presumed upon. Satan hates grace. Satan hates churches that would offer to the watching world grace and not mere pragmatism, moralism, performance-based acceptability. And it's why you as a church, when Bob's here and when Bob's away, you need to be committed to say, we want to safeguard this stewardship of this gospel. Really picking up at verse 3, let me read a few of the verses so you can just get the flavor for what it means for churches at every season. Why we would say, of course we want to take care of our staff. Why? Because we are at war. Until Jesus comes back, the enemy will try to disrupt gospel-driven churches. Here's the kind of what it looks like. Verse 3, dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once and for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. See what's going on there? Jude is basically saying this. I was going to write a letter about something else, but the blinking signs on the dashboard said there's a crisis afoot in your congregation. And here's what the storyline looks like. Certain people from the outside are coming into your house churches and are beginning to corrupt grace. The two primary ways that the gospel of God's grace get corrupted are by legalism and license. I love the heritage of your church that probably more faithfully than many gospel-driven churches I know, you guys have done a great job under Bob's preaching to realize there's always two thieves of the cross. Some of you indeed are recovering from performance-based spirituality. Some of you have been rescued out of moralism. Some of you have been rescued out of legalism. Others of us, however, think we hear in the message of grace permission to be idiots. The gospel of God's grace is not a green card to live as a moral moron. And you see, this is a part of what Jude is saying. Oh, men and women, heirs of this glorious gospel, oh, you called ones, oh, you loved ones, oh, you kept ones, don't presume on it. Don't throw your hearts into cruise control. Guard this gospel, because there will be those that infiltrate your midst wanting to corrupt grace one way or another. What would be a way of thinking about how you as a church, both when Bob's here and when he's not here, what would it mean to guard this gospel? What are some of the themes that we need to be thinking about as churches that would demonstrate a guarding of the gospel? I would say to every one of you who are members of this church family or praying about entering in, take very seriously your commitment to guard the peace and the purity of Oak Mountain Church. Conflicts are inevitable. Can I get a quiet Southern, we lost an hour of sleep, amen. If you're married, conflict is inevitable, right? If you're a parent, conflict is inevitable. If you get two Christians together in time, conflict is inevitable. What is not inevitable is stupid or ugly. And you see, the enemy comes in so quietly to try to undercut the culture of grace. Guard the purity of this church. Guard the unity of this church. What does that look like? It means continue to learn how to conflict redemptively, not destructively. It means that you hate gossip like you hate toxic waste. It means that you do not tolerate divisive personalities. It means that the leadership culture of Oak Mountain Church needs to be the ones who are examples of the difference the gospel makes in any scenario. In fact, that might be something I could say right now to those of you who serve in any way in leadership in this church. As a leadership culture, a part of your guarding of the gospel and the celebrating of the explosive transforming power of grace is to be deacons and elders on your knees together, to be a staff that does not just see a job to get done, but people to be loved. It's one of the things Jack Miller charged us with back in 1986 when we planted Christ Community Church. He said to our initial deacons and elders and our staff, purpose to be the chief repenters in the church. And by that, he meant this. If the aroma of grace and mercy and repentance just really wafts from the way the leaders live, it will radically affect the entire congregation. So Bob, beginning with you, and I don't want to say down, really I should say beginning with you at the bottom up, because servants are at the bottom, you know, keep trusting Jesus to show you how much of Jesus you need. I hope the sabbatical, you get to do so much fun stuff that your smile gets big, that you enjoy the land of Ireland. But I'm trusting that the Lord's going to show you and Lori why you're so thankful for the gospel, but also how much more you need the gospel. It would be great in 3 months when you come back here that you're a man more familiar with your tears and the laughter of heaven, because this gospel's true. And you see, the entire leadership culture, and every church goes through seasons as leaders are getting tired. But it's those that know homeroom is the gospel that recover quicker. So I say, brothers and sisters, glory in the gospel, every one of you. Don't wait to see who's going to do that first. You do that. Guard the gospel. Thirdly, a four, grow in the gospel. I will read this section. If you have your Bible, look at verse 20. I love this. After this long section that would encourage you to read later today, the whole of the little book of Judas, just one chapter. But he goes through, really from where I stopped off at verse 4 to the end of the section leading up to verse 20, giving us a lot of Old Testament examples about how in every season in the history of redemption, you find grace being assaulted, the gospel being attacked. But notice now the contrast, and this is again back to you and to me and to the membership of Oak Mountain Church. Along with glorying this gospel, guarding this gospel, let's grow in the gospel. And don't tie your growth and grace to anybody, including Bob, but demonstrate your growth and grace to everybody. Verse 20. I love this. What a great charge to those already engaged to Jesus, already legally betrothed to him. But you, dear friends, be building yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Verses 20 and 21 are in many ways marching orders that you and I have in this next season. And I love this. Notice that it assaults any notion of codependent spirituality. But you be building yourselves up in the most holy faith. Nobody can seek Jesus for you. Think for a moment, and this is not about merit. It's not about earning anything. But right now, if you're awe of Jesus' love for you was entirely dependent upon your seeking the Lord, how big of a heart do you think you should expect? Now, let me say that again. If your growth in grace was entirely dependent upon how you yourself individually, when nobody else is looking, how you're pursuing the Lord, how you're giving yourself to the use of the means of grace, how big of a heart do you think you would have? There's seasons of my life that I would say I probably should expect a heart about the size of a raisin. Good news is your growth is not completely dependent upon your anything but God's faithfulness. But did you see what's going on in this? You know, it's like Judas saying to a congregation, you're under attack potentially now and in the future. You have a glorious gospel calling. You're owned by Jesus. All of your sins are forgiven. You're declared righteous in Christ. Now live a life responding to this, starting with stewarding your own heart and story. Because notice where this goes. When he talks about growing in grace, when he talks about building yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, keeping yourself in God's love. To keep yourself in God's love does not mean make yourself deserving of God's love, but camp out in God's delight in you through Jesus. Because how you relate to one another and the welcoming heart of this church in many ways is bound up with that. Notice where we go in verse 22. As the admonition to a church to grow in the gospel lands, as we long for the mercy of our Lord to appear, which is the second coming of Jesus, look at verse 22. How are we to live in community with each other? Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire. and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Do you see what's going on there? As a body of believers, that's not just a hero-centered leader-oriented, but a body that says, we're hearing the gospel preach, we appreciate the gifts God's given us and our leaders, Bob and everyone else, and here's the net effect. We ourselves individually are hearing, responding, doxologically responding to the outpouring of God's lavish love for us. We're getting skilled and equipped to grow as disciples. And because of this, we become great lovers of one another and in the community. What images here? Going after people, not just waiting for them to come to you. Some of you have had, like I have, had the great experience of in a season of brokenness or disconnect, to have someone love you enough to risk coming to you. And it's a kiss from heaven. We need more churches that are so smitten with the gospel that we're not passive towards one another, but we really love well. We love well in our small groups. We see that the gospel of God's grace alone is the end to posing and pretending. And we get equipped to come after one another. Because, you know, sometimes our marriages are assaulted. And there's no more two stuck people on the face of the earth not knowing what to do than a married couple who know Jesus but have gotten disconnected from the way of grace. But those of us that experience redemption are in a position to go not to fix anybody but to love them. You also have friends right now that you're praying for, to long to see them to come to know Jesus. This church has grown by conversion growth rate, and it will continue to do so as this gospel is preached, but also as this gospel's wrapped around the hearts of everybody in this body. Lastly, it leads us to the final word of this text, and you can see how any one of these would deserve a whole series of sermons. But along with glorying in this gospel, Oak Mountain Church, along with guarding this gospel and everything that that means, along with you yourselves, this summer included, growing in this gospel, go in the gospel. And I love the way this text finishes, and it's a perfect timing to come to the table. Notice how the letter ends. The letter does not end now with you being ramped up to go do something for Jesus. Pause. The Bible never calls you to do anything for Jesus, but everything with Jesus. Look at this remarkable closure. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Jude's benediction basically says this: as you have remembered the gospel, you are the called, loved, kept ones for Jesus. As you understand that until he comes back and finishes making all things new, it will be war in your midst. The gospel will be assaulted. As you respond by growing in grace, go with Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we should have never had a bracelet that said, "What would Jesus do?" as though he's not here. We should have always had bracelets, if we even wore them, that said, "What has Jesus done and what is Jesus doing?" It's his story. You're his people. He is actively redeeming his pan-national bride from the nations. He is actively making all things new. And we get to join the party in the story. That's why we run to this table today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for my friends. Thank you for my dear brother that washes my feet in so many ways. Thank you for 3 months, Lord, of rest and reflection and Sabbath and feasting upon the gospel and enjoying, Lord, all kinds of parts of creation, Lord, even as the first fruit of the new heaven and new earth, Lord. And while Bob is gone, Lord, surprise Bob, Lord, humble him at how faithful you are as this body thrives, as people are saved while he's gone, as men and women and children grow in grace, as this congregation gets so excited about its future, bound up with Jesus, not merely Bob. Hallelujah, what a table, what a feast, what a banquet we share even now in these things to your glory, our God. In Jesus' name, amen.